This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump saying a short time ago of the man they think shot and killed Charlie Kirk.
I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him. Right in custody.
President on Fox News. Sources also telling ABC's Pierre Thomas there is a person of interest in custody. Federal investigators and state officials had released photos and a video of the person they thought was responsible for shooting Kirk once in the neck at a college rally on the campus of Utah Valley University this week. President Trump, again on Fox, praising investigators in Utah.
Local police, the governor, everybody did a great job. You know, getting somebody that you start off with absolutely nothing. And we started off with a clip that made him look like an ant that was almost useless. We just saw there was somebody up there. And so much work has been done over the last 2.5 days.
There is a news conference expected in Utah about a half hour from now. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Grant County Sheriff's Office is currently investigating the death of an adult female in the town of Muscadet. Wednesday night at approximately 6:15, a neighbor called and requested law enforcement respond to check on their neighbor, who they thought was either passed out or passed away in her driveway. A deputy from the sheriff's office responded and located a deceased female lying on the ground alongside the driveway to her residence. Due to unusual circumstances, assistance was requested from the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratory's crime scene response team to assist with processing the scene. Investigators, along with the Grant County coroner, worked throughout the night and are continuing the investigation into this incident. The name of the victim is being withheld pending notification of family. The Grant County coroner is in the process of scheduling an autopsy to determine the cause and manner of death. At this point, officials do not believe there is any immediate danger to the public. To maintain the integrity of the investigation, no additional details will be released at this time. The investigation into the incident is ongoing, and additional information will be released when it becomes available. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Grant County Sheriff's Office at 608-723-2157 or Grant County Crime Stoppers at 1-800-789-6600. A bicyclist was injured in a mishap. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a bicycle accident on Amaker Hollow Road in the township of Arena Wednesday morning around 11:45. Arena EMS, Arena Fire Department, and Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene. Due to injuries sustained in the accident, MedFlight responded to the scene and transported the bicyclist to a Madison hospital. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Packers now 2-0. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers beat the Washington Commanders 27-18 thanks to some outstanding play by the Packers defense, safety Xavier McKinney, on how they shut down last year's Rookie of the Year, quarterback Jaden Daniels.
The pass rush was relentless. I think we did a great job, not only just rushing, but containing him as well. You know, those things, you know, all together helped us, because even when sometimes he did get out of the pocket, everybody swarmed, so like it really didn't mean much. He didn't really get nowhere.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide. It's the first time ever the two teams have played together in Alabama. Kickoff set for 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill expected to start again at quarterback for the Badgers. Number 19th ranked Alabama is a 21-point favorite. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers opening a 3-game weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers still have the best record in baseball with a 5.5-game lead over the Cubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise mostly sunny and summer-like with a high of 82. For tonight, a stray shower or storm can't be completely ruled out after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy and mild, a low of 64. Partly sunny with a high of 86 on Saturday. Right now, it's 51.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, Tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded.
So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Political editor Dan Schaefer will be in to recombobulate, and we'll review the Packers Thursday night football game. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on a Friday morning, September 12th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly standing by as well. And Mike Clemens will be joining us in less than a half hour to talk about the Packers' victory over the Washington Commanders. Brittany Merlot has an early start to the weekend. Get your local forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. And why wait for Mike Clemens when you can pluck somebody right out of the crowd at Lambeau Field to hear all about it? That, of course, would be Dr. Lyerly. So, Kristen, how are you and how was the game?
I'm exhausted. It was wonderful. I really thought that at some point we were going to sit and watch the game, but we were on our feet almost the entire time, and it was worth it. The fans were outstanding. Sterling Sharp had his Hall of Fame ceremony last night, and he really acknowledged how important the fans are. And I mean, the gameplay was fun. Like, it was fun to watch them last night.
Yes, it was. It was fun to watch from afar as well. I mean, the first two scoring drives of more than 90 yards apiece. Tucker Kraft having a great game. Jordan Love throwing the deep ball a lot. There was just so much potential there. I'm pretty sure that the Lambeau Field crowd probably felt like the air had been left out of the balloon when Jaden Reed went down, though, in the end zone with that broken collarbone.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's such an important part of the team, but we're so rich. We've got so much depth that I don't think we're going to feel it the way that we've felt it in the past with when injuries like this have occurred.
Yeah. And we'll, of course, get into this more with Mike Clemens coming up in the next half hour. So we don't want to steal all his thunder here. But I was wondering how we were going to go about talking about one of this week's news stories that deals with healthcare. And I thought maybe I'll just read the headlines. And one of them, of course, deals with Robert Kennedy Jr. and speculating on autism and a connection with Tylenol. And then there's the other headline, $10 million in contraceptives have been destroyed on orders from Trump officials. The birth control pills, IUDs, and hormonal implants were purchased by USAID for women in low-income countries. They'd been in limbo in a Belgian warehouse after the U.S. cut much of its foreign aid. And now that $10 million in contraceptives destined for women in low-income countries has been destroyed. I'm just going to read the headline, and Kristen, just don't say any words you can't say on the radio and go.
I guess the one word that I want to say is why? Yeah. it doesn't make any sense. These devices and medications were there to prevent unplanned pregnancies. And by preventing unplanned pregnancies and unsafe situations, you save people's lives. So this was life-saving medication that we had every opportunity to use. to use in places where it's desperately needed. And instead, we just selfishly destroyed it at cost, by the way. The American taxpayers paid to have this birth control destroyed. It just defies common sense. But that is a pattern that we're seeing over and over and over again. And frankly, I think the American people are getting tired of it.
I would think so, especially as, somebody's going to amass the bill. You know, there's this $10 million that, you know, in taxpayer funds that have been wasted, you know, this much to deploy the National Guard to pick up trash. That's money that's been wasted. And on it goes. I mean, this has been the most fiscally reckless gang to ever occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, on the other one, on autism, Tylenol, Robert Kennedy Jr., what is it? Folate deficiencies, whatever that is. You're gonna tell me all about. Kristen, I am a pregnant woman. All right, ooh. I'm nearing the end of my first trimester, and I'm hearing all this, and I don't know what to make of it. So, what are you telling me? Besides congratulations, because that would be historic, you know.
Well, I mean, for most people, it's congratulations, but for some people, it's not. And for many people, it's really hard. For those of you who have struggled with a pregnancy, it can be incredibly painful just to get through the day between the fatigue and the nausea. It's challenging. And if you have some sort of a condition that causes pain, like, for example, say you get the flu or COVID or something like that, there are very few things that you can use in pregnancy to treat that condition. But Tylenol, acetaminophen, is one of those things that we know is safe. We've been using it forever, and we've got lots of data that shows that it's safe. Now, to be fair, there is some data out there that shows that there's a possible association between Tylenol and autism, but an association does not mean that Tylenol causes autism. It just means we need to look into this a little bit more. And very importantly, there's other data that shows that there's no association. So this is how science works. It's often not clear. We really want black and white answers, but in many situations, it is just not clear. So we do need to do more research. But in the meantime, Tylenol is considered safe in pregnancy. And if you are pregnant and you are considering taking any medication, talk with your doctor about your circumstances, what's going on, what is the medication, and what is the best choice for you.
But that is the real problem with this administration, and specifically with Kennedy as Secretary of Health and Human Services, is to take these studies that are incomplete or to misconstrue the conclusions or to, you know, mix up causation and correlation. In other words, all the things that a standard of science is supposed to prevent, especially at the highest levels, the Secretary of Health and Human Services should not be just trying to connect dots that have not actually been connected yet.
Yeah. Well, as scientists and as doctors, we all want to prove our hypothesis. We all want to, like, we all in the world want to be right. But the truth is that we are often not right when it comes to science, and we have to be honest and objective. And that is one of the most important things that we have to keep in mind as scientists. When the data does not come out in your favor, too bad, the data is the data. But RFK Jr. and his ilk want to market whatever they have in a way that serves them, not us. And It's irresponsible. I mean, this man is not a doctor. He has said, don't take medical advice from me. That's the best advice he's ever shared.
It is. And look, he's not the only one. We have one of the worst when it comes to purveyors of misinformation right here in the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. Now, again, I don't want to get ahead of my skis on this. However, we heard him belittling one of the nation's leading COVID researchers the other day. And he was citing the fact that a study was discredited. The study initially said that, was it the hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, one of his two that he loves to go to. That initial study said, you know, that this stuff is bad, maybe even dangerous. But then the study itself had to be retracted. Well, that's fine. But Ron Johnson's taking that as proof that these products are safe and should have been tried. Again, connecting dots that are not there. The discrediting of a study does not mean that the opposite of their conclusion is true.
They love to take something that has a little kernel of truth to it and blow it up in the wrong direction. So there is a little kernel of truth that ivermectin does help with COVID, but it's in giant quantities that we can't actually tolerate and in a petri dish, not in our own bodies. But to take that study and that information and to project it into the general public and make something that can be helpful, and that's something that doctors are withholding from you, that just undermines your trust in your physician and your trust in science. And frankly, it's not good for any of us. Like, we have to believe in the people who are taking care of us. You have to have, one of the most important things is that therapeutic relationship. If you don't trust your doctor, you're going to walk out of that visit saying, that was a giant waste of my time and money. And Ron Johnson seems to be wanting to spend his entire career in the Senate undermining exactly that trust.
Yeah. Here's something else that's undermining health, and that is the changing of guidelines for the COVID vaccine, which is out now for this season, but is available to fewer people. I believe it's now 65 and up and or with certain health conditions. And Kristen, I'm actually seeing people online saying, look, there's a lot of us, not yet 65, who still feel like we should have the COVID vaccine and are being urged to essentially, you know, either make up a health condition or shop around so that you can get the COVID vaccine, because it's clear that the Trump Kennedy HHS is not really promoting vaccination against COVID this winter.
Well, they're saying you can get it if you want it, but you can't. And it's because of them.
Yeah.
My son called me yesterday. He goes to school at Stevens Point. His friends are all sick with COVID. He said, Mom, I don't even know where I can get a vaccine because it's just not available. I had the same experience with a neighbor who is a senior citizen, went to his doctor, and they denied him a COVID vaccine because Kennedy's recommendations are preventing clinics from offering these medications. I don't know if he doesn't understand what the process is for making sure that vaccines are available or if he's just playing dumb, but people can't get vaccinated if they want to get vaccinated because he is putting all of these barriers between you and your healthcare. And friends, COVID season is coming, flu season is coming, RSV season is coming, and there will be unnecessary deaths for people who want to be vaccinated but are unable to get that vaccine, those vaccines.
And by the way, the barriers that we're talking about also include insurance companies, because when they hear Trump and Kennedy and others, you know, not recommend these things, that gives them a reason not to cover it and to say, well, we, you know, we're denying your request for it. And so maybe you can get it, but you'd be paying out of pocket. In the meantime, it's such a huge step back from where we were when we made the vaccine as readily available as quickly as possible and saved countless lives. And we are, without a doubt, marching backward. And again, not to sound alarmist, but we certainly have reason to be concerned about how things are going to go this winter between COVID, the flu, and RSV.
As a women's healthcare provider, you know, my patients have been living with the inability to make their own decisions about their own healthcare for a very long time. So welcome to the party, general public. This is what happens when politicians are making your healthcare decisions for you. We've got to stand up and fight back. That's the only way to get past this.
It is. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley here. Let me give you an update on what's happening in Utah in the Charlie Kirk murder. Law enforcement officials say they will hold a news conference in the next half hour about the detention of a person in relation to the Charlie Kirk shooting. It deals with the case of a young adult who has been detained, who apparently confessed to his father, perhaps. Again, these are preliminary reports, and that the father kept him and turned him in, essentially, to law enforcement. And again, we'll see what the official word is coming up. In the next half hour, we will monitor that press conference, and then we will share the details. We'll have Mike Clemens giving a sports and update on the Packer game. And then in our 8:52 segment, we will spend that time recapping what we know so far about what's happened with the Charlie Kirk murder down, out there in Utah. The Packer game that I just referenced, the Packers were winners there against the Washington Commanders. It was just a really good game overall, like Kristen was saying, 27-18, and now they're off until September 21st, when they will take on Cleveland. That's a Sunday afternoon, 9 days from now at noon. And then there's more football coming up. We've got the Badgers at Alabama. That'll be starting at 9 a.m., the pregame on several Civic media stations. We also have the Brewers tonight in St. Louis, and we have a free Ticket Friday keyword that we've been saying all morning. You have till 9 to text us the keyword catch, C-A-T-C-H. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
News from the center, WRCE.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles, and that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Pat Kreitlow Mornings from WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. I am Phil Nee, and I had the chance to chat with Richland Center's own Brady Ewing yesterday. He's been named an honorary captain for tomorrow's Badgers versus Middle Tennessee State game. Brady, congratulations on the honor. How did you first find out that you're going to be an honorary captain for this weekend's game?
Yeah, thanks, Phil. It was a little bit of a surprise. We were actually in Cross Plains for a scrimmage for my son Bennett's youth football team, tackle team. They were doing a scrimmage at Cross Plains, and I got a text that I saw after the game from John Richter from the University of Wisconsin, who is, I think, in operations with the football team. And he just said, "Hey, Brady, this is John Richter from Wisconsin football. Can we set up a time here today or tomorrow to chat?" And so it's kind of a random text from an unknown number. And I'm like, man, am I getting spoofed here? Like, what's going on? But I had a chance to connect with John, and he extended the invite to be an honorary captain this weekend. And, yeah, just truly an honor. Having been one of the guys that walks out as a captain at Wisconsin was definitely an honor. But to walk alongside some of the, you know, greats that had come before my time as well when they were honorary captains, it's just really cool to – have that come full circle, and just to be a part of it, feel pretty thankful.
They're honoring some former teammates of yours this weekend too, correct?
Yeah, it sounds like there's, I think it's the Hall of Fame weekend, so Travis Frederick and I believe Monte Ball will be getting honored as well. And so yeah, it'll be a really cool weekend to have a bunch of former guys there, and I think they're working really hard to try to bridge that gap between the Wisconsin of old, per se, to the new regime and the new coaching staff and what they're doing now. So hopefully we can help bridge that gap a little bit.
Do you know, will you be, like, right in the locker room before the guys run out, or how does that work?
So they sent me our itinerary yesterday, so it looks like we'll get the chance to be down on the field with Rachel, myself, and our family, and my parents, which will be really cool. As far as the locker room, I'm not super sure. We do get to go to practice on Friday afternoon and be a part of that environment. And, yeah, so still a little bit up in the air. Plan is to do some tailgating as a family, get in there early for the game, get some take in the sideline and just being close to the action. I know that my boys are really, really excited for that. And then get a chance to walk out with the captains during the coin toss.
So I bet the sights and the sounds and the smell, it's going to take you right back to when you were a player again, won't it?
It will, yeah. Yeah, something about the coolness in the air, the smells of the brats from the concession stands, the band starting to play. Yeah, they've done a lot to Camp Randall since my time there playing with some of the lights and the trinkets and things that they got now. But, yeah, ton of history there and some great memories from when I wore the helmet and got a chance to run around Camp Randall Stadium. Super excited to be back on the field in that type of environment. It'll definitely bring the goosebumps and some great memories back with some really cool people and teammates.
Are there any members of the staff or anybody around there that was around when you were a player?
Not a ton. Honestly, I don't think there's one on the staff now that was there when I was playing, or as far as the coaching staff, some of the support staffs from the equipment room and some of the training staff, there's still some consistencies there and some familiar faces, which would be really nice to catch up with. But the coaching staff is relatively new and not a ton of Wisconsin ties. And I have had a chance to meet Coach Fickle and some of the others on the staff, briefly at some other events. So excited to reconnect with them and hopefully they can have some success this year and stick around for a while.
Well, this is kind of the year that's going to tell a tale for them, I would say, wouldn't you?
I think so. I mean, you only get a certain amount of time to come in and prove yourself, especially at a program like Wisconsin that has had such historic success. And going to be tough this year with a really difficult schedule, playing some really powerhouse schools this year. I'd say the first two are probably the easiest opponents, being non-conference opponents, and then they jump right into, I think, Alabama or another really tough opponent here in the next week or two. So it's going to be definitely going to be a tough season in that regard. But I did like what we saw, defensively. I thought performing really high there in the last game, and offensively, I think there's some opportunities for improvement. But I did like kind of the mindset and the philosophy. It looked kind of like a Coach Chris style offense with some of the shifts, motions, some of the downhill running, some of the sweep motions and things like that. So at least as a Coach Chris, part of his systems that I was in the past, it was neat to see some of those things shine through again.
So is there a letter writing campaign we can start to get Brady Ewing in the Hall of Fame, or how does that work?
I don't know what that process looks like. I was just happy to be an honorary captain at this point. And, I think that's a little far-fetched for the Hall of Fame at Wisconsin. But, just thankful to be in the conversation, to still be a part of the program that played such a crucial part in my life, developed me into who I am and gave me an opportunity to live out, my dream to play at Wisconsin, and to meet a bunch of other great people along the way. Just thankful to be able to bring that full circle and connect with some of the current players that are likely doing the same.
Do you get to call heads or tails on Saturday, Brady?
I don't know. That one, they didn't put that in the itinerary, so I'm not sure. I think, if I remember right, I think the players still call it, and I just get to kind of be the token guy that's there and taking it all in alongside them. So.
The old guy.
I can report back on that after the fact.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about it. You'll have a lot of tells to tale, I'm thinking. So, all right. Brady,
no doubt.
Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck this week, and congratulations on this honor.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Richland Center's own Brady Ewing will be an honorary captain tomorrow for the Badgers versus Middle Tennessee State game, which you can hear right here on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. The pregame time getting underway around 1 o'clock. We have high school football tonight in Richland Center on WRCO, FM 100.9 and WRCO.com as Hillsboro plays at Ithaca, a very good local matchup from the Scenic Bluffs Conference. Phil Nee, wishing you the best. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the Richland County Fair this weekend. That continues through Sunday.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Charlie Kirk, the CEO and co-founder of the conservative youth organization Turning Point USA, was fatally shot at an event at a Utah college. His killing Wednesday is the latest example of political violence in the U.S., spanning a range of political ideologies and affecting both major political parties. Governor Spencer Cox called the killing a political assassination. State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remicker released a statement condemning the violence and extending condolences to Kirk's family. Republican State Representative Calvin Callahan said political violence has no place in America and disagreement must never cross the line into violence. Others took to the X social media platform where Governor Tony Evers posted that violence is never the answer for resolving our differences or disagreements, while Assembly Speaker Robin Voss offered prayers for Kirk's family, but added, quote, sad that the left has been radicalized to believe violence like this is okay. It never is. Wisconsin members of Congress are condemning the assassination. Congressman Tom Tiffany on X said Wednesday was a sad day for the nation and called Kirk a champion for free speech, engaging young people on college campuses and fostering open debate. Posting to X, Congressman Scott Fitzgerald called Kirk's death shocking and horrific and that he was assassinated while doing what he loved, speaking with and inspiring America's youth. Also on X, Congressman Mark Pocan posted, political violence is never acceptable. Gun violence is never acceptable. Two people were detained Wednesday, but neither was determined to be connected to the shooting, and both were released, public safety officials said. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Daniel Day-Lewis says he would have kept his mouth shut instead of announcing in 2017 that he was retiring from the movie business. During an interview with Rolling Stone, Day-Lewis dismissed his 2017 announcement. The three-time Oscar winner said about his retirement that it just seems like such grandiose gibberish. Day-Lewis added that he never intended to hang it up for good and says he just wanted to focus on other work at the time. His three Best Actor awards for the films There Will Be Blood, My Left Foot, and Lincoln are a record for a male actor. The 68-year-old Lewis said he never stopped loving the actual work, just guessing that The Irishman would be a real challenge to direct, even if you're his son Ronan, who is responsible for convincing dear old dad out of retirement so he could appear in his film Anemone, a story that explores the complexity of relationships between fathers and sons. Daniel also wrote the script with Ronan. You can check out the work of this father-son duo very soon. Anemone will be released October 10th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise mostly sunny and summer-like with a high of 82. For tonight, a stray shower or storm can't be completely ruled out after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy and mild, a low of 64. Partly sunny with a high of 86 on Saturday. Currently, it's 52.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt and Air on Air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, this farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Once again, we are monitoring developments out in Utah where somebody has been taken into custody in the Charlie Kirk killing, and we will either go to the press conference or monitor it and bring you the details as soon as we're able. It's been delayed once, maybe delayed again, so we are just going to continue on here for the meantime and tell you that it is Free Ticket Friday, and so if you'd like to be in the running for a statewide drawing for 4 great seats to see the Brewers versus the Angels next Thursday night, then get to the Civic Media app, use the text feature, and text us the word catch, C-A-T-C-H. And you can be also, you can enter multiple times today. There'll be different shows with different keywords. So listen throughout the day to get multiple entries. And again, one will be plucked to see the Brewers next week. Brewers were off yesterday. We will talk more about the Brewers. But first, of course, we got to get to the Packers and a Thursday night game at home at Lambeau Field against the Washington Commanders, where Mike Clemens was following it and joins us now. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, a 27-18 win for the Packers over a Commanders team that, you know, got as far as the NFC Championship playoffs last year with Dan Quinn at head coach, and who had led the Falcons to a Super Bowl, and Matt LaFleur was his quarterback coach. And Matt Ryan was the MVP that year, but they lost in the fourth quarter to Tom Brady and the Patriots. This Packers defense just was the star of the game again last night. Led by Micah Parsons, who they picked up in that trade now 2 weeks ago. He had a half a sack, but you know, you can see these teams are having a game plan for him. And they hit the quarterback 12 times, sacked him 4 times. I mean, Jaden Daniels, who was the NFL rookie, offensive rookie of the year last year at quarterback, he was, you know, on the run all night long. And talking to Xavier McKinney, the safety at his locker late last night, now these guys got the weekend off, I don't know, it's like, we just talked about the speed of the defense. And he said, yeah, I had nothing to do tonight because either the quarterback was under duress, or, you know, Keyshawn Nixon was out there in their corner and had 5 deflected passes at corner. And that, you know, the Commanders, that's an older team. You know, Von Miller, I think Larry McCarron said this is like his 15th season.
Yeah, a couple of guys, he said one of the guys was 85 years old. I mean,
Bobby Wagner from the Seahawks is one of their linebackers. So, you know, maybe that Packers youth kicked in, but whatever. And one of the guys in the network that I was on last night said, have you ever seen a Packers defense that fast? And I had to think about it. I mean, you know, they had Reggie White, but not 5 or 6 guys like, you know, Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, you know, getting praise from McKinney last night about it. He's so tall and is fast. And now he knows where he's going and understands, you know, where the play is developing. So between that and then big Devontae Wyatt, from the defensive line, breaking through the A gap and putting pressure on the quarterback and, you know, deflecting passes. So that defense has, you know, had a tremendous week, 2 weeks in a row now.
They did. And, you know, for me, the surprising thing was knowing, you know, I don't know much, but I did know that Jaden Daniels, you know, had a heck of a season last year with Washington. And so I was a little nervous that we'd get, you know, how we would face, like, you know, Colin Kaepernick in his prime, how he always seemed to have the Packers number. And I was a little bit worried about that. But this defense was like you said, nothing I've seen before in terms of speed in shutting down another top 5 offense. But now we got to go to the other side of the coin. And there's always people banged up afterwards. But this one is especially tough watching how hard wide receiver Jaden Reed came to the ground after making a catch in the end zone.
Yeah, opening drive. He's run down the right-hand side. It looks like he's going to catch this 39-yard pass from Jordan Love for a touchdown. It would have been nullified, actually, because of Anthony Belton, the rookie, filling in a tackle. Mm-hmm. I think it was a holding call on him. But Jay Reed, who he had that dislocated shoulder and had to leave the Eagles playoff game. It was able to heal on its own. He didn't need surgery. But he comes down, comes over, and they go in the x-ray, broken collarbone. And, you know, like some agent told ESPN, well, yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, but it's like, come on. I mean, you know, we did that. We went through this twice with Aaron Rodgers. It may be December, right, if he's able to come back at all or something like that. They're going to get Christian Watson back, who they just gave that $13 million extension to sometime next month.
Sometime next month. Okay. Well, we do have other weapons in the meantime, so that works out well. The Packers are off. They've got a 9-day break here before they play September 21st, a noon game against Cleveland. But there were some honors there last night. A former player being honored. You got to talk to a former coach, Mike McCarthy, as well.
Yes, Sterling Sharp, you know, the receiver for Mikowski and the early part of Favre's career. Went into the Hall of Fame last month, and now his name is up there in the Ring of Honor. So they did that at halftime. And, yeah, I ran into Mike McCarthy. You know, I covered all those years. And he was honored last weekend at the Packers game when they brought back, for the 15th anniversary, the Super Bowl 45 team. And he came running out of the tunnel, and, you know, the fans just went nuts there during that Lions game. Well, he was back up there again. Someone invited him to be in a suite, and he told me that, you know, after he got let go by the Cowboys, that Jerry Jones brought him in for a meeting. He was moving back to Green Bay, selling the place down in Dallas. And he had a meeting with Jerry in June just to sort of, you know, smooth things out, whatever. But now Mike, you know, spent the summer in Door County on his boat, and he's lived in the De Pere area. And he and Jessica's youngest is still an eighth grader, so he's going to all those games. And he's doing some media now, too, for, like, ESPN. But it was just, you know, it was great to see him. Great to catch up with the coach like that. And to see the fans welcome him back, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, because, I mean, one thing he didn't do is he became a competitor. He became the competition. But he didn't take on this, diva-like thing and trashing the old team. And so, no. You know, still on good terms with the fans, which you can't say about everybody.
You know, maybe his worst loss was to the Packers in that playoff game, too. You know,
that
might have been the last straw. Who else I saw last night? Who? Do you remember Doug Williams?
Yeah.
You know, the Washington quarterback led them to Super Bowl 22, 4 touchdown passes, 6-4-4, huge. He was with the Commanders last night. I saw him getting off the team bus, and I saw him a couple times in the press box. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, Hall of Famer right there. Super Bowl MVP. So, you know, it's a Thursday night primetime game. So they got those guys there, you know.
Yep. No. You get all the celebs. You get the pregame being done outside and everything else. Then you've got the atmosphere of, you know, college football. And while this one will not be at Camp Randall, but when they go play the Crimson Tide in Alabama, even though Alabama isn't quite the juggernaut that it used to be, they're still a very formidable foe. And I'm sure knowing that the Badgers are coming to town, that's going to make for big festivities happening in Bama tomorrow.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing a game in Alabama for the first time ever. It's 11 o'clock tomorrow. Alabama's now 19th ranked in the country. They beat the Badgers at Camp Randall last year, 42-10. And they're 21-point favorites tomorrow against Luke Fickell and his Badgers. But he says, you know, my guys, we got this one circled after last year. And you know, who knows? Maybe they'll rise to the occasion and accept the competition that way. But yeah, they're going to be down in Tuscaloosa, which isn't that like an old Groucho Marx joke, something about a, you know, shot an elephant in Africa, but I found the tusk were very difficult, but in Alabama, the tusks are looser. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow for them. There's one time I found that the Badgers beat Alabama.
Yes.
November 1928.
Yes, I heard that earlier in the morning, like, oh, we haven't beat Alabama since 1928. I'm like, what? I go looking it up, and like, well, that's like the only other time we played them. So, yeah, it's been that way. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, pregame will be at 9 o'clock, starting on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. So be sure you check out the Civic Media website to learn more about that. The Brewers had last night off, and that was when you've got that in the middle of a homestand, that is just especially nice. You got your home game isn't until the next day, and you've got this opportunity to go to maybe see, I don't know, a Packer game. And there were definitely some Brewer sightings last evening.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw on the sideline, just before the national anthem, I saw Bryce Terang, Sal Frelick, Caleb Durbin. Yeah, a bunch of the guys came up from Milwaukee, had the night off after they got back from Texas. Now, they got swept by the Rangers this past week, which was the only time this season they've lost a three-game series. The first was that opening weekend series against the Yankees. And it's only the third time that they've been swept since Pat Murphy took over last year as manager. I think they got swept by the Phillies once last year as well. But tonight, they're taking on the Cardinals. First pitch at 7:10, and I'm going to try and get down there for that one, so if I can get into that Pat Murphy pregame press conferences, because, if he pulls out any pancakes or waffles out of his pocket or whatever. But did you see during the Rangers game, a couple of the mascots from the Rangers were holding up signs in a fence behind home plate to try and distract the Brewers pitcher that said pocket waffles?
Yes, pocket waffles, and waffles are better, and all of that. You know, I was going to make another observation about that at that stadium there. Look, but behind the batter, and the catcher, and everything, you see the people there. They're the season ticket holders. Okay, they're in the seats. You get that they've got a little bit more scratch than a lot of fans do. That's fine. But what they've got at Texas, and I know there's a couple of other, I think there's a couple other stadiums like this too. It's not seats behind the batter. It's like a little restaurant or a club that people are just kind of walking around with their sandwiches and their cocktails, like a bar. And it really rubbed me the wrong way, Mike. It's like, the people who are sitting in the seats are paying attention to the game. I don't want to watch some rich Texas whatevers, just hobnobbing in the background, not really paying attention to the game. It just really struck me as, and I don't use this word very often, but elitist. And but let me make clear, Mike, if you ever get me a ticket to get me in there, I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna pay more attention to the game than some of these people were.
Hey, one time in the 90s, I was in Washington, D.C. covering some stories for CBS. But then at night, I went with a buddy of mine. And he said, let's go see an Orioles game. Let's go check out this new Camden Yards. We walked up, and they had seats up in the bleachers and some in the seventh row right behind home plate. Well, hey, we did that. They were affordable. We sat down. And there's this guy that people kept on saying hello to during the home game. And it was during Ripken when he's having his, his career streak. And during the seventh inning stretch, this guy who everybody was waving to, including George Will, remember the the conservative talking, this guy had a bald spot. He turned around and was waving to people. It was Jim McKay.
No.
What's Jim McKay? It turns out Jim McKay was a part owner of the Orioles.
I had no idea. Wide World of Sports, Agony of Defeat, that Jim McKay. Wow.
Sitting right in front of us, So, the Dodgers have got Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight. She's got these prime.
She's got great seats. Yes, absolutely.
The Dodgers games. And Milwaukee's got front row Amy, who comes down every couple of nights to keep stats. But, she's there. But these people, at least our fans, are intently watching the game in the front row.
That's exactly right. And by the way, at 89 wins, Brewers still have the best record in the major league. So there'll be plenty of good material to watch tonight as they start a series with the Cardinals. Mike Clemens, thank you as always for the Friday morning sports. Have a great start to the weekend.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Appreciate you very much. All right. Let's pause here. And then when we come back, some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. We'll have any update that we've got from what's happening out in Utah as well. And then Matt Naranair follows us right after the 9 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, again, we're monitoring events in Utah, where a news conference will be getting underway soon about a possible suspect in the shooting of Charlie Kirk. It all started with the president of the United States speculating out loud on a basic cable morning show, Fox and Friends, saying, "I think with a high degree of certainty we have him in custody, but Trump said he couldn't go too far in sharing the details." He said that he was turned in after somebody that he knew recognized him. Somebody that was very close to him said, "That's him." The president said, according to the New York Times here, he's subject to being corrected, but that he was sharing information, quote, "based on what I'm hearing." He says a minister who is also involved in law enforcement communicated with the person's father and eventually was able to turn him into authorities. And as if all the speculation weren't enough, the next thing the president of the United States said is, "I hope he gets the death penalty." Well, again, so much for due process. Okay. Look, if you're talking just, overarchingly symbolically about whoever the murderer turns out to be, well, that's one thing, but I think we can agree that's not what Donald Trump was talking about, but just this person who they're about to announce as having been arrested. And there is a name and an age of age 22 that is out there. But again, federal authorities have said they're still in the process of pursuing leads and executing search warrants. And so there will be this news conference, but I can't say with any certainty how much certainty that they're going to have as well. So we will continue to monitor it here. And at the very least, Civic Media will record it and bring it to you as part of Matt Nair on Air, and then try to give some context to what's happening. Because again, this is a very fast moving story, and we're trying to keep speculation to a minimum, just passing along things as we hear them from figures of authority, knowing full well that those figures of authority may not necessarily have all the information either. It's a theme that we just keep coming back to on this program, is that it's important to get the facts right rather than trying to scoop everybody else, and to provide the proper perspective when we're giving it. I hope that we're able to do that for you. So let me close here with an article in the Isthmus newspaper out of Madison. And if you go to isthmus.com and head to the opinion section, I was very happy to see the name of Mary Bergen in there. Mary Bergen, B-E-R-G-I-N. She is a very experienced freelance travel writer, and was one of our freelance writers for the first couple of years here at Up North News, writing all manner of stories about places in Wisconsin. But she is very much a world traveler. And as a world traveler, she has taken the pulse of communities around the globe over these past 7-8 months, and has an opinion column in there that leads like this: I am eager to offer apologies this year and already issued dozens while exploring Mexico, reconnecting with Canadian colleagues in Charleston, and attending international travel events in Chicago. I'm sorry for our government's attitude toward yours. I'm sorry for the stress you may feel when traveling here. I'm sorry if you haven't felt welcome. So many of us are glad you chose to visit. We aren't all like that. She says the replies she gets are a mix of chuckles and thanks and reassurance and suspicious looks and confidential tales of life's new complications. Before I read more of it, it occurred to me I did not start the segment by saying that one last time, if you haven't texted us the keyword yet for our text to win contest for 4 Brewers tickets, it's catch, C-A-T-C-H, and you got just over 2 minutes to send that back our way. Catch is the keyword. There will be more keywords throughout the day to potentially win Brewers tickets to see a game next Thursday against the Angels of Anaheim, Los Angeles County, something like that. Back to Mary Bergen, travel writer, talking about how the world of travel, she writes, has been so muddled this summer, so many are not quite sure where to go or what to expect. That includes frequent flyers who appreciate cultural differences and know how the amplified antics of politicians diminishes the quiet goodwill of average people worldwide. We travel writers, she says, debate whether to delete our social media content before approaching customs, or whether it's best to write about countries other than the U.S. this year. And then she goes on to talk more about the conversations that she has been having. And it is clear that, and it's been clear from my travels as well, that most people around the world understand the difference between the American people and government and politicians and even pop culture. That American people, by and large, the ones who are traveling overseas, are ones who are, want to get a worldview that is much more well-rounded, because that is the antidote to things like xenophobia and jingoism and all the other quote unquote ugly American traits that we see out there. Okay. For years and years, it doesn't matter who's in power. People around the world have appreciated the American people and welcomed them to their countries, especially when they're spending their tourism dollars here. Unfortunately, you do sense a bit of a shift, because, again, it took 70 million of those Americans to put Donald Trump back in office. And there's a little more hesitancy. Well, a lot more hesitancy. Foreign travel to the U.S. is plummeting. And again, it's one of the many ways that the election result from last November is costing our economy, in terms of visitors, in terms of goodwill, in terms of trust. I will say, however, from my own travels earlier this year, the one thing they do know is that when Americans are traveling abroad, by and large, the ones who are traveling are not folks who are going to be spewing some of the ugliest lines of American politics these days, because the ones who are spewing some of the ugliest lines in America these days, the last thing they want to do is travel and see the rest of those people around the world. So hopefully a lot more Americans will have an expanded worldview and use up that passport. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will do this again bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north. In the meantime, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for a newsletter, and head to Spotify and listen to us as a podcast. Matt and Air on Air is next.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says there's a suspect in custody in the fatal shooting of Charlie Kirk.
President Trump on Fox News Friday morning said law enforcement officials have a person in custody in the shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk.
I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him in custody.
The president later said this.
The bottom line is they have somebody that they think did it.
As for details about how this developed, the president said, quote, somebody that was very close to him turned him in. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
ABC's Pierre Thomas says video of the suspected gunman released by the FBI may have broken the case.
The video was going to be the catalyst. They believe that for someone. The photographs, the images for someone who knew him.
A manhunt has been underway since Kirk was shot and killed on Wednesday in front of about 3,000 people. The FBI speaking this hour. This is ABC.